5.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 10. Seven. Yadi dasyasi me kaman varans tvam varadarshapa kamanam vidyasam loham bhavatas tu vane varam. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray that from your lordship, I pray from your lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to pray for benedictions from the Lord. He said, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaya Mama janmani janmani shade bhavata bhaktir vaituki twayi. O my Lord, I do not want from you any amount of wealth, nor many followers, nor a beautiful wife, for these are all materialistic desires. And if I have to ask you for any benediction, I pray that in whatever forms of life I may take my birth, under any circumstances, I will not be bereft of your transcendental devotional service. Devotees are always on the positive platform, in contrast to the Mayavadis who want to make everything impersonal or void. One cannot remain void, shunyavad. Rather, one must possess something. Therefore, the devotee, on the positive side, wants to possess something, and this possession is very nicely described by Prahlad Maharaj, who says, if I must take some benediction from you, I pray that within the core of my heart there may be no material desires. The desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not at all material. Om Ajana Timiram Tasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Miditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Aisham Tathati Sapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamstha Sri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahagana Gaganatam Vitam Stam Sativam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dadita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra. He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopita Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Muni Vancha kolpatarubhyascha kripasindho vyayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yadi dasyasi me kaman, parang stram bhagavarshadha, kamanam vidyan asangroham, bhavatastu vene param. After Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, and the demigods offered prayers, and Prahlad Maharaj offered prayers, the Lord offered to Prahlad, please take some benediction from me. I'm the bestower of benedictions, so please take some. So Prahlad replied that, sir, please don't tempt me. I'm born in a family of demons, and their propensity is always to want to enjoy in this material world. Ishuro ham aham bhogi siddho ham balavan sukhi. I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy. This is the mentality of the asuras. And Hiranyakashipu was asura number one, and Prahlad Maharaj was his son. So Prahlad says, this is my background. So if you're going to offer me some material benediction, it's not very good for me. It's like increasing the fever of a disease that I already have. So please don't tempt me with these things. And apart from that, I'm your servant. Not for getting some profit, but because it's my constitutional position. You're the master, I'm the servant. The hands of a clock, the business of the hands is to move. The business of the clock is to tell the time, so the business of the hand is to move in a circle. The business of the hand of the body is to put food in the stomach. The so many, yes, part of the machine, its business is to work for the whole machine. So I'm your servant, I'm your ansh, part and parcel of you. So my business is to serve you. My duty is to serve you. My function is to serve you. It's not my business. I'm not your, I'm not a vanik, that's he specifically says. aren't good for that. But he says that I'm not a merchant. I haven't come to do business with you. It's not that I rendered service thinking the more I render service, the more I'm racking up points. And then I'll get, you know, it's not a rewards program. I'll rack up enough points and then I'll get some benefit. Not like that. I just want to serve you. The service itself is the reward. Not the that I'll serve you till I get some reward. Even the Mayavadis, who are supposed to be desireless, sometimes serve the Supreme Lord, but their idea is to get the a reward. That I'll serve you long enough that I'll finally become non-different from you. That's they've gotten free from other desires. They don't want sex. They don't want money. Maybe they don't even care about fame. But they've been trapped by the last snare of Maya, they want to become identical with God. Means they want to become God. Ishwaroham aham bhogi. The demonic quality is, I'm the Ishwara. And the Maya body is, I'm Parameshwara. So, Tattvamasi, they have all these favorite slogans that indicate that there's no difference between me and God. Oh, now I'm the drop, may I become the ocean. That's their aspiration. So, although they make a big effort to become desireless, avishuddha buddhi, their intelligence is not pure. So still they want to become identical with God. That's another material desire. The last snare of material desire. Otherwise, those who are less advanced, the karmis, want something for the sense, for sense gratification, or for the satisfaction of material demands. They pray to the Lord for prosperity, or they pray to the Lord for health, or they pray to the Lord for the welfare of their family, or they pray to the Lord that their business may go all right. They pray to the Lord that now some opportunity for career advancement is opening up, if the post can be awarded to me. In so many ways, they have so many material interests. And they approach the Lord for the satisfaction of that material interest. They're described in the Bhagavad Gita as sukritina, pious, because they're approaching the personality of Godhead. If they were less pious, they would just go for it. Just take the direct route and with their own efforts try to get whatever it is they want, by hook or by crook. Mostly crook. But because they're pious, they're approaching the personality of Godhead. If they're a little less pious, they approach some demigod. Kshipram hi manushe loke, siddhim bhavati karmaja. They generally don't, they think, if I worship this deity very quickly, he's Ashutosh, he'll satisfy my desires. Durgama will satisfy my desires, or whichever deity I choose. Or they'll approach this deity for this desire, or this deity for that desire. So they're less pious and less intelligent. Kamais taister hritagana, actually bereft of intelligence. Prapadyante anyadevata. Because they're not approaching the personality of Godhead. They're approaching the various divisional managers for satisfaction of their demands. But those who are more pious approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kama sarva kamo ba moksha kamo dharati. They're more broad-minded, more intelligent. So tibrena bhakti yogi. So they begin bhakti yoga, but with material desires. In various religious systems, we find this is very prominent. The Hindus are praying to God for material advancement, material benefit. The Christians are praying to God for material benefits. The Jews, the Muslims, practically everywhere, everyone is approaching God because you're all powerful, you're all merciful, you're all great. So, if you would kindly give me something. Sometimes they're in desperation. Artarti, they're desperate for money, or they're in some severe distress. So they approach the Lord. Or just materially interested. Or sometimes out of curiosity or searching for knowledge. So they're described as sukriti, pious. But devotional service, pure devotional service, is beyond the realm of mundane piety. To the devotee like Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm not after doing business with you. It's not quid pro quo. I do this for you, you do this for me. It's transcendental. In his transcendental position, in the material position, when I identify with this body or with the mind, then I have so many demands. But when I come to my purified position, Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam, then I know that my business is, my natural function is to engage my senses in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna. So at that stage, the devotee doesn't demand anything from the Lord. Nadanam, I don't want money. Najanam, I'm not interested in fame and followers. Lasundarim kavitam, I'm not looking for a nice, beautiful wife. I'm not even looking for liberation. I just want to serve you. This pure devotional service is beyond karma and jnana. Karmis want material satisfaction. Jnanis want spiritual liberation impersonally. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami. The yogis want mystic powers. Sakala ashanta. Therefore, they're all agitated. But Krishna bhakta nishkam. The devotee has no material desires. He has desires. We speak of becoming desireless, but real desirelessness is to be free from material desires. The Mayavadis want to be free from all desires by becoming void or impersonal. And still they have extraordinary desires for their own advancement to the post of absolute. But the devotee actually reaches the position of absolute by engaging as the servant of the supreme absolute. This is a transcendental function. Therefore, the sankirtan, glorification of Krishna, is beyond material piety. To think that the chanting of the holy name is a function of material piety, like the ritualistic activities recommended in the Vedic literature, like various ceremonies that are performed for material progress, is a slight to the holy name of the Lord, to the chanting of the holy name. The chanting of the holy name puts us directly in touch with the personality of Godhead, because there's no difference between Krishna and his name, Abhinnatam Namanam. So this chanting is a transcendental function. Therefore, to chant for as business is also offensive. One is not advised to earn one's livelihood by chanting the holy name of the Lord. It's not a business. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't chant for pay. I was just seeing a video that a devotee had taken as part of scholarly research of a big festival in Bengal at the birthplace of Jayadev Goswami, where there are so many kirtan groups perform, 500,000 people gathered. It's a very big festival. And so many, and for kirtan, for 3 days, I think, of Lila kirtan. And the there are various kirtan groups and kirtan singers. And they're very expert, mridanga players and the singers. But it's business. The various groups have their, you show they have their cards printed up, and they're distributing their cards, and they're there's something called a VCD, which is not much in this country, but apparently in India, VCDs, I guess that's a video CD or something. It's favored because it uses up all the megabytes on the disk. So they're very popular. So they're distributing, they're selling their VCDs and earning a livelihood. The big guys don't show up at the festival because they don't need it. They don't need the publicity. They've made it. But the second tier, they show up at the festival and they do their kirtan and they network and they expand their business. And I assume that there's also a devotional component, otherwise they could be singing Bollywood songs. But it's not pure devotional service, because there's a business motive involved. I'll support my family, I'll make money by doing kirtan. But the kirtan is not meant for that. The Lord is not meant for being our source. Of course he is our source of maintenance. But devotional service is not meant simply as an employment opportunity or a way of earning one's livelihood. We didn't approach Srila Prabhupada and say, "Sir, I so many hours I can serve, and this is what my needs will be." It wasn't business. I just want to serve, that's all. I just want to serve. So Prahlad Maharaj is in that mood of pure devotional service. He's not asking the Lord for anything, and he's even refusing. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's mentioned that the Lord was trying to induce Prahlad to accept something. So he said, "Won't you please just take something just to please me?" But Prahlad Maharaj said, "No, please don't try to allure me to take something. I just want to serve you. I just want to serve you." So this is the aspiration. Of course, in the probationary stages, we have so many desires. Small desires, big desires, intermediate desires, this desire, that desire. There are, almost we say it's natural, or because we have this body, we can say that these are natural desires. Or excessive desires. We want more and more. But devotional service, the process of devotional service is for reducing that. Reducing our material demands. some demand will have to be there. I need to eat. I need to sleep. Everything the body places demands upon us. But those demands should be diminished, not increased. Kamasya na indriya pritir. The Bhagavatam advises that our desires should not to satisfy the senses, indriya priti, should not be increased. Kamasya nendriya priti. The demons are interested in indriya priti. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. What is that? Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Come to me after. Hole in the brain. Anyway, the yet indriya priti or aprinoti masadu man. Okay, thank you. The demons are mad after indriya priti. Their senses are inflamed and they want. They're ready to do anything, legal or illegal, illicit or illicit, to satisfy their senses, because they're servants of their senses, shameless servants of their senses. But the devotee wants to control the senses and reduce the material demands. Kamasya na indriya priti. Labuji vetaya. Keep body and soul together and not increase material necessities. Later, Srila Prabhupada will discuss that if he gets material opulences, that's his karma, he accepts that, but that's not his interest. If he gets material advantages, he uses it for Krishna, that's all. Not for his own material satisfaction. Whatever it is, it's meant for Krishna's service. Someone gets less, someone gets more. But my business in life is not how to get more, how to get more. My business actually is how to be satisfied with less. Vivasya tattva jigyasa marto yas jaya karma vi. Because the real business of life is self-realization, not sense gratification. And the perfection of self-realization is devotional service. So Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm just interested in that devotional service. I have no other interest. Okay, maybe we'll stop here to see what kind of questions you might have. Or comments. No. No questions, Mr.
Are you ready to go? Any questions? Maharaj, but this is what we are. I'm hearing this for almost 36 years. But it's very difficult. Process is not easy. Especially. Even it is there, you can sometimes it becomes dealing with the devotees, it becomes desires sometimes not that pure the way it should be to dealing.
But we have to cultivate that sense of pure devotional service. We know that our devotional service is not of the highest quality. But we want to refine it. We want to, particularly Yasya Varjana, to give up those things that are unfavorable and Anukulyasya Sankalpa, to accept the things that are favorable. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared it to weeding a garden. We have to plant and we have to weed. And we have to continually weed, because otherwise the weeds will grow up, grow up, grow up. So there's a process of Cheto Darpana Marjana. If the heart were pure, there'd be no need of Cheto Darpana Marjana. But our problem is that the heart is not pure. We know that. We have so many desires. Why have we come to this material world? It's because we're not in our constitutional position. If we had no material desires to begin with, we wouldn't be here. It's Jadvesha Samuttena Panvamohena Parat Sarvabhutani Sammoha. We're bewildered by material desires. Sargayanti Parantapa. Therefore, we're continuing in birth and death. It's a very serious disease. The garden is infested with weeds. So we take to the process and we begin the process of cleansing the heart. We take up the chanting of the holy name. We agree, all right, no gambling, no intoxicants, no illicit sex, no meat eating. The pillars of sinful life will be rejected. And we'll do those things that will help us to advance in purifying the heart by associating with devotees, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by chanting the holy name, by serving the deity, by living in the Vrindavan atmosphere. We'll try to purify the heart. But that means that this should be our goal. One of the offenses in chanting, to maintain material attachment. So we all maintain some material attachment, big or small. Prabhupada Sannyasi maintains attachment to his few possessions. But we know this is our problem. I'm attached to this, I'm attached to that, I'm subtly desiring this, I'm grossly desiring that, I'm acquiring this, I'm indulging in that. We know that we have all of these propensities, these disadvantages, these whatever you want to say. So, but our business is how to get free from these things. That should be our determination. That I know I have all of these things, but my business is how to get free. And of course it's an inner struggle, because there's a part of us that says, no, I don't want to get free. I don't want to give these things up. I want to hold on to this. So there's an inner enemy. It's not just that we're fighting against external enemies. But what is that? Indriyani mano buddhir asyadhishthana mukshita. The material desire takes up residence in the senses, in the mind, in the intelligence. So we're trying to overcome material entanglement, and material entanglement is already occupying our own territory. The mind, you know, like in material warfare, there's espionage, where the enemy forces have infiltrated your own forces, and so it's hard to make progress, because the enemy is already working behind the lines. So we know that there's already infiltration of our senses, of our mind, of our intelligence. Therefore, it's very destructive. People get advised, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Don't deny the natural feelings that you have in your heart. That means basically surrender to your own lusty desires. Whatever junk is in your heart, just say yes to it. And you'll feel so much better. This is first class Maya. What is it? Yeah, just follow your desires, follow your heart. As if the heart were a pure devotee, or the heart were the best friend of all living entities. But we have hrid roga, heart disease. If we follow the diseased heart, we'll be in trouble. Therefore, we're advised, no, don't follow your heart. Unless the heart is telling you to go to Krishna. When the heart says, serve Krishna, then the heart is good. And when the heart is saying, serve Maya, then the heart is not good. What is that? Udhare atman atmanam, not manam avasadi. Atmaiva yatmano bandhur. Atmaiva riparatmanam. The heart can be the best friend, or the heart can be the worst enemy. So one has to uplift oneself by the heart, by the mind, and not degrade oneself. Manturatmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmana jitaha anatmanastu shatrutve varte tatmai shatru. The mind or the heart that's under control is the best friend. And the mind or the heart that's out of control is the worst enemy. Therefore, one has to control the senses, the mind, the intellect, or the senses and the mind by the intellect, and the intellect should be guided by spiritual direction. Then, so Prabhupada called it a gradual cleansing process. There are sometimes religious meetings that are held and one is urged to surrender right there. Or come up and surrender. Sign a paper or declare that now I'm surrendering. And it's very emotional and some people come and they surrender. But it generally doesn't last. Or it's not effective in purifying the heart, because there has to be a process. It's not enough just to come up and to surrender. That may be good if one thinks, now I've signed a paper, I have to stick to it, but there must be some process also. There must be some process. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the best process. Param vijayate shikasha. Chant the holy name, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam. The religious ritualistic ceremonies of Karma Kanda or the speculations of Jnana Kanda will not be very effective. But the kirtan is above that. And when we stick to the process of Hare Nam and we try to advance in pure devotional service under proper guidance, with determination also, and gradually it becomes possible. But it has to, that should be our aspiration, not to increase the, and Maya is always saying, no, increase. Increase your demands, you're entitled. Ask me for something, and I'll tell you the terms of the deal. You work a little harder and I'll give you a little more. But the Bhagavatam advises, no. Decrease the demands and increase service to Krishna. Okay. Yes, 30 is one point of view. 30 years, what is that? It's a lifetime project. But we should always be making advancement in that project. The Varnashram system also helps us in that project. Because the Varnashram system regulates material engagement. In the student life, material enjoyment is very much minimized. Brahmacharya Gurukule Vasantanta Gurukita. One is trained to become the menial servant of the spiritual master and to live very simply, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, controlling desires, controlling all these things, so that he becomes strong for spiritual progress. Then in householder life, there's regulation on sense enjoyment. And there's charity to purify the householder life. And there's engagement in the service of the Lord. Then there's retirement, vanaprastha life. Don't stay in family happiness, so-called family happiness, for your whole life. At a certain point, one should pack it in. Probably like a business. Comes 5 o'clock, they close the business. They don't say, well, if they open another hour or so, maybe another customer will come. 5 o'clock, business closes. So one is advised, don't stay in family life forever. Panchashortam Banambraje. By 50, one should retire from family affairs. Hand things over to the next generation. Give over. As in the beginning of family life, we wind everything up. Expanding our career, expanding our earnings, expanding our family members, getting a nice house and good job and children and everything. The end of family life, we should wind that all down. No more children, no more sex, no more money-making business. Now detachment. So Vanaprastha Ashram is the process of winding that all down, depending more and more on Krishna, reducing material necessities, increasing engagement in devotional service. And the fourth stage is sannyas, completely giving up material engagement. So the Varnashram system is very important for completing the process of freedom from material existence.
And do we have many examples of vanaprasthas in our movement? Good vanaprasthas.
Good vanaprasthas. There are a few. It's the unknown ashram.
Yeah, because
it's the unmanifest ashram. There are some who are very serious vanaprasthas. Their business is Ravindra Srup is officially vanaprastha, and his you see his life. It's not building up his material enjoyment. It's devotional service. Near Chicago?
Pritushava
Prabhu.
Oh, okay.
Not a material life there. It's all about preaching. And there are, even in the, those who've not been preachers their whole life, I have my godbrother, Adya Prabhu, in Laguna Beach. He did very good business, did very well for himself, nice everything, nice family, nice earning, everything. Now he says, I'm finished. He's handed over his business. Last year, practically, he was handing over his business to his son. Now I think it's all handed over. And his interest is simply to be engaged in spiritual activities. Simply to be engaged in spiritual activities, and you know, I've arranged this, this, and this, and this for the. You set it up in such a way that essentially whatever the children inherit is contingent upon devotional service. No devotional service, no inheritance. It's set up in such a way that you have to, you know, I'm not interested in just satisfying your senses and your material interests. If you want to serve Krishna, some help is there for you. If you're not interested in serving Krishna, you know, I'm not interested in you in terms of your material welfare. Of course, they're all capable, they'll do everything. All of his children are nice devotees. But now he's interested in simply devotional activities. We have our Vasudev Prabhu from Fiji, very nice devotee, and again, very, his family are the biggest business people in Fiji. But his elder brother long ago gave up business activities. He asked Prabhupada what he should do. Prabhupada said, chant more jap. So he's chanting so many rounds a day. His wife is simply engaged in the service of the deities for so many years. So they're, although they're husband and wife, they're simply engaged in puja. And Vasudeva also stayed in business longer. Now I think he's finished because I haven't seen him for a while, but I know he got a place in Vrindavan and he's spending more time in Vrindavan. A few more. Who was just talking to me about that?
And Radhika Raman's parents are also almost.
Yeah, Radhika Raman's family. There. But there's a few more also who've come to me, and you know they're in that position that I just want to wind it all down and vanaprastha activities and not be concerned with making further progress materially. So they're there, but it's very much less. I mean, it's surprising. When we joined the Hare Krishna movement and we were 18, 19, 22, we were reading about Vidura and Dhritarashtra, how attached he is, and what a fool he is. And we're reading there was only one Dhritarashtra then, now there's a Dhritarashtra in every home. And we read that and laughed. But now where are the Dhritarashtras? One is, you know, 57 and he's getting married again. One is holding on, and I can't leave. I have to keep working, and my this, my that. And the real story is material attachment. And one is not advanced enough or determined enough to pull back. One is thinking still, everything is depending on me. If I leave my job, what will happen? And my children are depending on me, and I have to send my son through college, and I have my daughter this, and my this, that. And one doesn't think that without me, things still might go on. And one doesn't think that there's no guarantee that I can stay here. And one doesn't think, how much time do I have left? And how urgent is it for me to get free from material entanglement? One doesn't think I have to set the example for the next generation. One simply thinks, like, no, I have to do this, I have to do that. And our society has not been very focused on encouraging vanaprastha life or giving the framework for vanaprastha life. So it's just sort of there, it's known about, but there's no systematic course, Vanaprastha life doesn't have to be systematic in the sense of something that an institution has to organize. But that emphasis should be there, especially given the demographics of portions of our society, that your business is not to go on earning money, even if you're giving to the temple. At a certain point, the business is to pull back. Don't be, of course, in Abhimanyu's case, it was brave. He didn't know how to get out, but he knew how to get in. And so he did it as a matter of sacrifice. But householder life shouldn't be like that. We know how to get into the viewha and we don't know how to get out. We have the mantra. He wasn't instructed. He was partly instructed by Arjuna, here's how you get in. But he wasn't instructed, here's how you get out. Or he didn't receive the instruction how to get out. But we've received the instruction. This is the mantra and this is the program. So we have to remember that mantra and remember the program and make it our determination. Although the rest of the world may think it's mad, although they're going in exactly the opposite direction, how to go on somehow enjoying to the fag end, our goal is not like that. In one sense, that's what distinguishes the path of devotional, of bhakti yoga from other methods where they... You even see there's some religious movement where their goal is, you see their depictions. The spiritual world is kind of where you go and you live with your wife and your family and your dog, and there's a nice little cottage with a picket fence, and you know, your grihastha ashram is sort of comes with you to Vaikuntha. And that's your job, is to that's your eternal life, to enjoy with your family for eternity. So they just project their material attachments into the spiritual world. And the body will be resurrected, and so your body will be there, and everybody's body will be there.
March, another question. As a society, like say when after Vanaprastha, when the husband's gone off to take sannyas, are we as a society ready for like thousands of single women all over
Mayapur? No, we're totally negligent.
First of all,
it's not just an institutional responsibility. It's not that the church or the temple has to say, okay, here's our program for taking care of your wife. Here's our program for taking care of your children. It's the grihastha's responsibility. He's got 25 years in which to do the best he can to make every provision, and then he has to retire. So it's first of all his responsibility, not that somehow or other the institution has to provide for everybody's family or former family. But then it's not only the children. So that's the first thing, that the children have to be the man has to make the effort that I have to provide as far as possible. And then his children have to be trained that you're going to inherit whatever there is to inherit, and you'll inherit your mother. It's not a, you know, free lunch anywhere in the material world. She took care of you, and your business will be to take care of her. That responsibility gets handed over to you. That training has to be there. That culture has to be there. Not that we adopt the Western model that you live at home till you're 18 or 22, and then you move out, and then you get married, and then you have your own life. And you call your parents now and then and see how they're doing. And if you're really responsible, you see that they're put in an institution somewhere. That's not civilization. Civilization means that there's a debt created, and the son has to take the responsibility. Not that family life is just an unlimited opportunity for enjoyment with every drag cut, like the way, you know, when they land with a parachute, first thing you do is you cut all the lines so that you're not going to be pulled. So when you get married, the first thing is you cut all your other connections so that you don't have any liabilities, you only have assets. And your parents are a liability. So cut, 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 cut. That's not civilized life. That's irresponsible.
But vanaprastha is not leaving home. They can live in home.
Vanaprastha, there are different systems of vanaprastha life. One system is that the husband and wife will travel to different... First of all, it means radically reducing material life.
But
it's not just staying home and attending
home
this marriage and attending that marriage and attending this birthday party and attending that birthday party, all social affairs. That's not vanaprastha life. That's just the continuation of material life. Mm-hmm. But vanaprastha life means, first of all, no sex life. And then social life is not the business. The business is bhajan. So they take different forms. Husband and wife may go to different tirthasthans. There's so many.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go on pilgrimage. When we were on Padyatra, there were so many pilgrims who came along with the ISKCON devotees. The party started from Dwarka, and so there were so many Gujarati people, older. They joined the Tirthyatra. Some of them were grandparents. And they were walking. Every day, new place, seeing deities, taking part in the kirtan. So there are so many holy places. And husband and wife may go and visit those holy places. Now there are so many ISKCON temples also. Husband and wife may go there, see the deities, hear some Krishna katha, render service. There's so many festivals in different parts of the world. So they may travel for their spiritual advancement. That means getting out of the, we have a comfortable situation in our home with our family members, with all of our relatives, with everything set, and we're attached to that.
It means leave the home.
So one system is that they'll go out and leave the home and see different temples and hear Bhagavad Gita and associate with saintly persons. Another system is they may go to one holy place. They may go to Vrindavan, they may go to Puri, they may go to Mayapur, they may go to some place and they'll stay there. Another person comes to mind is our Guru Maharaj, my godbrother. He's got a place in Puri. And his business is really mainly preaching, he and his wife. They're not interested in material family life. They're interested in devotional service. So one may go live in a holy place. Just like that Krishna Balaram temple, Prabhupada said, the guest house was for retired people. He was very unhappy. Young grahastha couples were there with all their children and everything. It was meant that retired people can come to Vrindavan, live very simply, worship Krishna Balaram, take part in the kirtan, hear the Bhagavad Katha, be absorbed in the Vrindavan atmosphere, and in that way advance in their spiritual life. So that's the second system. One system is they go traveling on Tirthyatra. Another system is that they'll go live in a spiritual place. Or a third system is that the wife will stay at home under the care of the children. She'll do her bhajan at home. And the husband will go out. And he'll do some prachar or he'll go on Tirthyatra. And he'll come back and see how things are going on. And then again he'll go out preaching or Tirthyatra, sadhu sangha. Again, he'll come back. See how things are going on. Again, he'll go out. And then Prabhupada said, one day he just doesn't come back. So that's another system, gradually increasing detachment, increasing detachment, increasing detachment. The whole theme is increasing detachment. Whether by going together to holy places, by staying together in a holy place, or by coming and going. The theme is getting free from...
So for wife, it's not the vanprastha.
My question was the same. Why only they, men?
Because the man is supposed to be stronger. For the woman, it will be more... Now, she may also go. There are so many examples. Archie went with Prithu Maharaj. They went to the forest, and they were both undergoing severe tapasya. Because vanaprastha life means to accept... Now I accepted so much enjoyment, now let me get free from that by accepting voluntary discomfort, voluntary austerity.
What about if husband is not interested and if wife is devotee, I mean, she can go and to some religious or holy place like Vrindavan just did?
She may. Then there should be some arrangement so that it works nicely. Otherwise, Vrindavan has so many ladies who've gone there and things are not always very good for them. So there should be some proper arrangement. Ideally, husband is a devotee, wife is a devotee, sons are devotees, everything is a nice package. If things are not exactly the way to the ideal, then we have to adjust accordingly. But there are many, the mother is staying home, but her business is bhajan. It's not that she's staying home with the children and the grandchildren and the so many invitations and so much, you know, she's still a social butterfly.
But it's very hard to detach with the grandson or grandkids or
no, that will be there.
Living in the
but
world.
her engagement is that she's her business is bhajan.
Teaching the grandchildren bhajan.
Children sees that the other Prabhupada gave the example that one I think Singhania family or
yeah,
one
Singhania.
The mother was the head of the family, practically speaking. And by her order, all the children had to come to Mangal Arati.
Yeah.
You know, they're all grown sons, they're head of a business, this, that. But everyone has to come to Mangal Arati, and the Pujari sees if this one didn't come to Mangal Arati, then the fine is imposed.
Bill given, yeah. Prabhupada said they give the bill.
They give the bill, that you didn't attend Mangal Arati. So that means that the mother's business in that circumstance is that she sets the example of being engaged in them. The younger generation, naturally, they're engaged in expanding their material life. And the presence of the devoted mother acts as a counterbalance to that. And she knows that my enjoyment is not forever. Now my husband's gone out of home, and only Krishna is there. And the younger members of the family are there, but they're also temporary. The eternal relationship is with Krishna. And so my business is Krishna. That determination should be there on the part of the woman in retired life. Not simply accepting invitations and enjoying false happiness, but seriously engaged. I've given that one example that Bhuvan Mohan is his name in Fiji, Vasudev's older brother. He's engaged in job, his wife is engaged in deity worship. That's their whole life. They're not engaged in material advancement. That has to be exactly. I had a nice talk with my godbrother, Vidyapurna Maharaj, and he was saying that actually for every vanaprastha it's a little different, because every grihastha family is a little different. Everyone's circumstances are different. So there's not a rigid system, this. But the theme is the important thing. There's a change of consciousness. In family life, there's a change of consciousness. I was brahmachari, now I'm married, so now there's a change of consciousness. I have different sort of responsibilities, different engagements. I have to see to my family welfare. And there's a certain amount of enjoyment that I got into it for, so I'm interested in that. But I'm also interested in keeping that under control because I want to be Krishna conscious. So there's family life. But then there's a change in consciousness. Now I'm old. I don't want to work for the rest of my life. Biology actually helps us if we listen to it.
Right?
The old man doesn't want to go to the office every day. He doesn't want to start a new business. He doesn't want to work like an ass for the rest of his life. Or at least he has... A part of him is telling him, you don't want to do this. You don't feel, you're not up to it. You have to push three times as hard to get half the result. And there's other people who are, you know, stepping into your shoes and you're busy defending your post against them, but they're the ones who actually should be taking it up. You're trying to protect yourself lest they take over. And the rest of the world is looking at you and thinking, when is this old fossil going to get out of here? Therefore, the mentality of Vanaprastha, let me go voluntarily, not wait till some committee declares me, till Nittai Gaurasundara is called in and then to testifies in court that this man can't handle it anymore. Or until they stage a coup and get rid of me. Or until I finally get a stroke and can't function anymore. Now I'm still capable before it becomes impossible. Some older people were inquiring. The old gentleman who was quite sincere and devoted, but it was no longer possible for him to get out of family life. It's just physically... He wouldn't be able to go. It's too late. So before it's too late, while we still have our strength, we should move on. And let the young people, you know, we're thinking this guy can't do what I do. He's only 30. Alexander the Great took over the known world, I think, by the time he was 23. He died, I think.
33. Before he studied that.
No, I think that's too old.
He died before he studied that. One month before he turned 33.
Before he turned 33. And by then, he'd already done it all. He conquered the world.
Yeah.
And we're thinking, you know, this guy's 30. I don't know whether he can take on any of my responsibilities. The world. Alexander the Great took over the world. Otherwise, kings like Brigshit Maharaj and Yudhishthira Maharaj, they just handed it over at the appropriate time. They didn't say, well, no, we could still handle it for another 10 or 20 years. They could have. They could have. They were competent. Of course, the Brigshit Maharaj, his notice was there. But Yudhishthira Maharaj and his brothers, they could have kept going. But they knew, now it's our duty, we should go. So it's that change of consciousness that even though I could push on, I could still squeeze it a little more, I could still carry on, my duty is to give it up. Why? Because the Shastra wants to help me. Shastra is not trying to punish me, Shastra is trying to free me. So it's giving me this advice that while you still have your wits about you, while you still have the physical strength to do it, start getting out. So don't at once take sannyas. That might not work. You might take sannyas on Tuesday and go back home on Friday. So don't do that. There's an intermediate ashram What is it? Dukkha Mapta Yoga. Simply by sannyas, you might just make your life more miserable. So there's an intermediate stage for developing detachment, but accept that. Don't remain in the grihastha ashram forever. Go on to the next stage. To be in school is fine, but when you're 60 and you're still in school, something's wrong. School is fine, but now graduate. Family life is also fine, but then one has to graduate. So that's the Vanaprastha ashram. Very important ashram. Very important. Sannyas we can talk about later, but the first thing is Vanaprastha ashram should be there, and it's that change of consciousness. Now, I'm not going to be here forever. What is the meaning of this business in the context of eternity? What is the meaning of my daughter's marriage in the context of eternity? What is the meaning of making sure that my son goes through college on my money? What is the meaning of that in the context of eternity? So I'm advised, do the most you can up to a certain point, and when that point comes, now start getting out. Wind it down, pack it in. You know, you're going on a journey, whether you like it or not, you might as well start packing. And when you pack, the art of packing is to leave stuff behind. And the sannyasis can't accumulate more and more and more and more. If you're traveling, you can only travel with so much. The real example is my Vidya Purnamash, who travels with a bag maybe a little bit bigger than this all around the world. I asked him, how did you get it down to that? He said, while traveling, I would see on each trip what I didn't use. And whatever it was, next time I wouldn't take it. I would see how much I didn't need. And so finally he's down to this much. How much do we really need? We think I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Well, something, of course, everyone is different. He can get by with that one little bag. Someone may need two bags. But the concept, the thinking, not how I'm going to have more and more, my house, my this. Even if a person went through his house and started looking at all the things that he didn't need, probably the house would be 3/4 empty by the time he finished. Anyway, family life, that's one thing, but vanaprastha life means, what don't I need? First thing I don't need is sex. I absolutely don't need sex. I'm not going to have more children after 50. What enjoyment is there going to be from this? And that's the first thing. I don't need sex. That is given up. Vanaprastha ashram. No sex. And then what else don't I need? So that's the mentality. In the grihastha life beginning, one thinks, what do I need? Well, I only have an apartment. We ought to have a house. Now we're having a second child. We needed this. We needed that. We need to think about all the things you need. And generally expands. And vanaprastha life means thinking about all the things that I don't need. Or thinking how much less I can do with. Or from another point of view, how much more I can increase my devotional service. And that means the two things go together. Anya bilashi tushunam. What don't I need? Pratikul yasya varjanam. What can I give up that's not going to help me? And what can I accept that will help me? It's not just dry renunciation, giving up. But it's positive engagement. Prabhupada mentions that. But it's positive engagement. If we think about it, in that stage of life, one can do so much. We were talking earlier how a lot of the people in management and so on are incompetent, or a lot of the people in leadership may not be so experienced. So a person who's been through family life, he's so experienced. He knows management, he knows how to run a family, he knows finance, he knows psychology, he knows so many things about how to get on in this world. Now he doesn't have to do it anymore, so he can advise others. The grihasthas have some young married people, they have so many issues. How do I do this? How do I do that? So the vanaprastha is available. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. And the big question is always, how do I balance my Krishna consciousness with my work, with my this, with my that? Well, here's how you do it. He's available to give advice. Sannyasis, they don't believe us. We always say so many things, and no, you don't understand. But you can't say that to vanaprastha, because he's not that far away. He's just a little past where you are. So the vanaprasthas can make themselves available for giving practical and spiritual guidance to the grihasthas. They themselves can get more spiritual guidance from those who are further down the road. They're available for serving the deity. They're available for doing so many things for preaching. Grihasthas, I'd like to do more preaching, but I have to work. I have to do this. Vanaprastha, I'm available. I'm available. You say to the grihastha, would you like to come and do this? Well, yeah, I'd like to, but. You ask the vanaprastha, yeah, let's go. Because he's thinking that this is now my business. I'm available for preaching. I'm available for bhajan. I'm available for sadhu sangha. Because that's, and it's like a second life. In brahmacharya life, he was free. In family life, he's tied by so many responsibilities. In vanaprastha life, he's getting free again. I don't have to punch a clock. I don't have to see the accounts. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. I have to go back to Godhead. That was my purpose all along. So now is, first of all, the opportunity. I had a duty. No, I couldn't leave my family responsibilities. I have a duty. Now it's reversed. My duty is to get out of the family responsibilities. The student's duty is to go to school. And then at a certain point, his duty is to get out of school. Across the life, it's my duty to see to family. Vanaprastha life, it's my duty to wind down the family affairs and get out. Now it's his duty, so properly pursued. Now he has the time, he has the availability for increasing his direct activities of hearing, chanting, spiritual association. So now it's like a second life. He's got freedom again. He can use that valuable portion of his life were rapidly advancing in Krishna consciousness. Now he didn't have time to read. Properly managed, he would have had at least some time. Now I didn't have time to read. All right, now sit down and read Bhagavatam, beginning to end. We have so many books. In tired life, one can read all these books. One can attend the lectures. One can associate with the sadhus. One can serve the deities. One can do so many things. One can go out and preach to others. And the ladies too. It's not that the husband has all the fun and the lady is just. But her life is meant for spiritual culture. And we know that in here in America, in the Christian community, so much of the work is done by the older ladies. Now their husband is retired, where their husband has died, and if they, of course, now every woman works, but now they've retired. So now they're doing charity work, they're doing church work, they're doing that sort of thing. Not that, well, nothing to do. That's how you die young, die younger, by not doing anything. but they're engaged. Some sort of, if they don't have, if they're not church workers, then they engage in some sort of philanthropic work. They dedicate their lives to charity or to saving the animals or to doing something. Because they don't know better. They don't have a higher goal. But in retired life, it's not only the men. Women can be engaged more and more in spiritual activities. In the home affairs, how to give spiritual input. In practical activities, how to help with... Oh, there's another one, Vrindavan Chandra. In Alachua, not Alachua, Tuaco. Gujarati gentleman, Bhakti Charu Maharaj's disciple, he and his wife. So their sons have finished their education, they're in business. They looked at their house and said, what do we need this house for? So they moved into the temple. And he's the pujari, and he's doing the accounts, and you know, they have no need of household life. Now it's retired life. So it's staying in one place, but the place is where the deity is. And their business is serving the deity. And not that the husband is doing everything and the wife has nothing to do. She's fully engaged. Because we have to go back to Godhead finally. And the body is going to be progressively destroyed. And we don't know how much time we'll have, or with the time we have, we don't know how much capability we'll have. So before the capability is withdrawn or the life is withdrawn, we have to move in that direction. Pack up and start moving on. Not wait till they just throw us off. Us out. Is that okay? Good. Should we stop here?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.